Hey, this is David Rovics with another episode of This Week with David Rovics, making popular education popular again. On November 11th, 1918, the most deadly, most massive, most mechanized, most extended period of carnage heretofore known to humankind finally sputtered to a very temporary end. Tens of millions of men mowed each other down systematically with rapid-fire weapons of all kinds, which all the main warring parties had been investing in an ongoing arms race for years. The war was one that was waiting to happen, a reckoning of the great powers of the day for the spoils. The spoils being colonial domination of much of the globe. To win this victory, all sides essentially sacrificed an entire generation of men. Along with them, millions more people, especially children and the elderly, died of disease, malnutrition, and lack of medical care. Those who emerged victorious from this war of attrition, Britain and France in particular, set about dividing up the defeated Ottoman Empire into new nations with borders purposefully designed to undermine any possibility of national cohesion, purposefully designed to encourage sectarian conflict, making sure there would always be a powerful ethnic minority backed by a foreign power that could theoretically then control the rest of the population on their behalf. But if you return to the seats of empire, to the cities of Paris, London, or New York, you'll find among the spoils of empire enjoyed by the bankers, arms dealers, and stockbrokers a massive underclass that has been a constant feature of these imperial capitals for centuries. The ruined, broken, discarded servants of empire. The shell-shocked, conscripted killers for 20th century colonialism, asking passers-by for spare change. Got off the plane, looked at no one. Walked down the tarmac in the direction of nowhere. Followed the sun as it was setting. Glad to be done with all the bloodletting. There were no banners for the proud and the few. Just workers in airports do what they do. Fuel up the planes, unload the bags, along with the coffins all covered in flags. When Johnny came marching home, the town he was from was a dead little place, so he looked for a job somewhere off base. In this city of pawn shops, hotels and bars, gas stations, strip clubs, highways and cars, he went to a dive, ordered a beer, said, turn the music up loud so it's all that I hear. Try to rewind, turn back the years, stop the explosions between my ears. When Johnny came marching home, the jobs were all crap, beer it was cheap. Besides, there was no other way he could sleep. Still, the screams and the guns would wake him at night, and he was always on edge and ready to fight. And when he closed his eyes, he would just see the face of someone he killed in some faraway place. Over and over, the white of her eye and her final, terrified cry. When Johnny came marching home, just a short time, his health fell apart, with an ache in the joints and a thump in the heart. The doctor just told him it's all in his head, but he couldn't stop drinking or get out of bed. And with no place to go but the wrong way, it was a shock to his ears when he heard himself say over and over to anyone within range, hey mister, can you spare some change? When Johnny came marching home, the This has been another episode of This Week with David Rovics podcast.